Hey, I recorded today's episode a couple of days ago. I had created a video on Instagram TV talking about how it can be dangerous to model after the Stoics because they didn't have a foundation of morality behind any of their wisdom. And I wanted to shore that argument up or that philosophical concept up. So I created today's episode and I was actually thinking, like, what is the takeaway? What's the bottom line that I want people to understand about this idea? And Jeff Bayless, who is the host of the Evolution podcast, he commented on one of the videos on Instagram and put it really well. He said, morality as a foundation for wisdom is a great concept. And that is exactly what I was trying to get to. I was trying to say, like, listen, in the grand scheme of things, however long we can think about time, right? Basically, as far as we can think back in time, from explosion to matter coalescing as a planet, to that planet being Earth and having the perfect conditions for biological life, and then against all odds for that biological life to develop intelligence, in the span of time that that has been happening, the idea that you and I should be equal is a really, really new concept, right? Like the literally the blink of an eternal eye, like this just happened. It's not something that is innate to the human condition. And actually the idea of dominance is deeper than you are. It's truly wired into your DNA at a really deep level. And when I was growing up, I had the New Testament read to me in a way that was put like in a really, it made it sound very like it was a very quid pro quo type of relationship with whatever this God was, that I had to do certain things, I had to act certain ways, and then I would be worthy. And it was, it felt like a really problematic way to try to learn about a really big idea like God, right? That perhaps is the biggest idea that we can possibly think of. I've recently learned, as I've studied ancient Roman culture, I've realized the New Testament is really this like impassioned letter to the world, like, listen, there's nothing that you have to do, and in fact, there's nothing that you can do. You are worthy of your life just because you are here. If you have wisdom, but you have that on a sound foundation of morality, then you are freed up to play a different kind of game, and that game makes a better world for everybody. Happy Monday. Welcome back to another episode of Morning Coffee. My name is Rick Alexander, and you guys can follow me at RickAlexander_ on Instagram if you want to interact with the show, share it with somebody that you think might resonate with the message or with your following, or it would mean the world to me if you'd head to iTunes and give us a 5-star review so we can continue to climb the ranks and get the show out there to more and more people. Today's quote is by Marcus Aurelius. He said, "Concentrate every minute like a Roman, like a man, on doing what's in front of you with precise and genuine seriousness, tenderly, willingly, with justice, and on freeing yourself from all other distractions." And then he also said, "Waste no more time arguing what a good man should be. Be one." So today I want to break those quotes down. I want to talk about the history of morality, and I want to talk about the revolutionary notion that's hidden within the idea that you and I are equal. So I've seen that the Stoic philosophers are gaining a ton of attention right now. And I would say that the main one is Marcus Aurelius. And behind him, you probably have Seneca and a couple others. So Marcus Aurelius, you have to understand, was the emperor at the height of the Roman Empire. This is about 2,000 years ago. And so on Instagram, there's an account called The Daily Stoic. And this is author Ryan Holiday's way of revivifying the Stoic philosophies. He wrote a book called Ego's the Enemy. He wrote another book called Obstacle is the Way. Really great books, doing a great job at taking this ancient wisdom and interpreting it for a modern audience. But I've also seen that right now, as tensions are starting to mount, we had the pandemic and people got pent up, and then this stuff happened with George Floyd, and I talked about the kind of symbolism of that. And so now you're really starting to feel the tinder of revolution start to mount up, and you can feel that something really big is happening. And in fact, right now with protests in all 50 states, this is actually considered the largest civil rights movement in history, which I'm inclined to think is pretty incredible, because I really do believe in the idea of human dignity. I really do believe that there's nothing that you or I could do to be worthy of our lives. We just are by the fact that we're human. But that's a radical idea, and it's actually a pretty new one. One of the things that I'm seeing on the Daily Stoic specifically is that these quotes are being used to talk about how the Stoics were really concerned with justice, and how right now people that are aligning with the Black Lives Matter movement are also empathizing with the Stoic philosophers. Now, I really believe that it's important that we read history correctly, because history can be extremely enlightening, and it can be that way without us changing the story for agenda or having it be what we want it to be. So as I said, Marcus Aurelius is the emperor at the height of the Roman Empire. Now understand that for a period of about 300 years, the Roman Empire was going through a time of peace that was unprecedented in history. So basically, they go out, they become extremely effective at killing people and at conquering lands, and they start to own this sprawling empire that's a mix of all of these different cultures. And so what would happen is they actually had to be a pretty like religiously tolerant organization. And so what would happen is as they would conquer people, they would kind of bring in their religion and add it to the Roman pantheon. So at the time, it was almost unheard of to have a monotheistic religion except for the Jews. Now the Jews, who were also conquered by the Roman Empire, were something like exiles in their own land. They kind of broke off into all of these different factions because some people wanted to fight and resist the Roman Empire, and they kind of moved out from the cities and into the mountains and into the woods. And then you had another group of Jews who really got in bed with the Roman Empire. They were called the Pharisees. Now, understand that the way that the Jews understood morality up until then was to follow the law, right? And so if you think about the law, that's basically the Ten Commandments. Everybody's heard of that. It's like this idea that if you just do what you're supposed to do, that makes you a good person on its face. Now, the Romans' idea was built on a dominance hierarchy. Now, we have to go back through time to understand that having a dominance hierarchy is the most innate thing to humanity, so much so that it's actually deeper than our own humanity. Now, what I mean by that is that dominance hierarchies is basically the tool that evolution uses to further its species and carve intelligence out of it. And so as we evolve, as we separate from the animal species, we do so because we were able to dominate, to leverage, to get a leg up on other animals, on other people, on other cultures. And so the people that tell history are the people that were able to dominate other cultures. And so understand that when Marcus Aurelius says, waste no more time arguing what a good man should be one, he's in charge of the most brutish and brutal empire of all time. And in fact, if anybody ever stood up against the Roman Empire, it wasn't even considered an injustice to kill them, to publicly shame them, to crucify them. This is something that they did all the time. This was not new to Jesus. This was happening all the time because they believed in silencing people. And in fact, the idea that there was a superior race was human. It was intrinsic to all of us because we only got to where we were by dominating people. But you always have to ask, is what got us here going to be the thing that gets us there? So then all of a sudden this guy comes along named Jesus, and he starts to preach, and now he's a Jew, so he's preaching in the Jewish synagogues, and he's preaching about this idea that under God, we are equal people, right? That there's nothing that you or I could do to be worthy of our lives that we just are, that there's an inherent equality. And the way that he does this is he starts going to all of the people that have been dispossessed by the Pharisees and by the Roman Empire, and he starts treating them like humans. Now, this is a heretical idea and something that was not okay to do back then, of course, right? Because that's why he's executed as an enemy of the state. That's why if you read the Gospels, he's going the whole entire time, what he's doing is he's healing blind people, he's healing lepers, he's healing people that are possessed. And I would say back then we had a different idea of what possession was. But he's going around and he's treating these people that have been cast out society like they're actual people. And then when he's preaching people, he's saying, love God, love people. So he's preaching love above all of the laws, above all of the dominance. He's saying, what we can do is flatten this dominance hierarchy out, and we'll have peace because you and I, we're in this life together. And again, this is a really heretical idea because Rome had basically created their sense of peace by stationing what they call Roman legionaries. These are groups of people that are in all of these different towns. So Pontius Pilate, the guy that actually killed Jesus, he's the head of these Roman legionaries. And so basically what they would do is they would silence anybody that got to be seem like they were a problem. Anybody that talked about revolution, you're dead. Now think about this. Right now, we really have a problem with police using brutal military-like tactics or force on unarmed, peaceful populations, right? There are certain times where that's happened. Cops have been fired in the last like week or so because they're using excessive force against people that we deem don't deserve it. Now imagine back then, this is the Roman Empire, only instead of shooting you with a rubber bullet, they shame you and kill you in public as slow as they could, and they've been doing it for so long that they're masters at it. And so there are certain points within the Bible where Jesus is called the Prince of Peace, and the reason that that was such a heretical idea is because that's what they called the emperor. But he got it through power. He got it through leverage. He got it through manipulation. And what Jesus said is, actually, you and I, we're equal under the eyes of God. And so there's nothing that you could do to be worthy, and there's nothing that you have to do. Now, what happens is that dominance, you have to understand that dominance, in order for it to work, it relies on fear. Now, if you're not afraid of the reprisal of what happens, then they're basically impotent on being able to stop you. Now, because of this, there was a couple martyrs back in the day, Jesus, of course, being one of them. So they kill people that stand up in opposition. But when this movement was based on the idea of morality and human dignity, all of a sudden they couldn't stop it. There was no head of the snake to cut itself off from. Now, something else is going on at this period as well for the couple hundred years that are following. So Jesus dies. People start following him. They start following him based on this radical notion of human dignity. And back then it was just called the way. That's what the Jews called it. It wasn't its own religion. It was just basically like considered like a sect of the Jewish religion. People that started following it. Well, that starts to take the power out of the Roman sails. Now, at the same time, Rome is having a lot of trouble keeping their population growing because it sucked so bad to live in the Roman Empire. And by that, I mean, if you weren't a Roman citizen, you had no rights. If you weren't a man, you had no rights at all. In fact, women were owned by their fathers until they were married, and then they were considered property of their husband. Their husband could leave them, like literally kick them out of the house at any time that he didn't like them or thought that they did something that he didn't approve of. They had zero rights. At the same time, when people were having kids, because there's no morality, there's no idea of human dignity, as kids are born, if it was a male that was deformed, if it was a girl at all, they were just killed. They were left out for exposure. Sometimes people would take them in, but for the most part, they would just be killed by animals or whatever else. Oftentimes, there's a really crazy letter that was recovered from an emperor just before Marcus Aurelius. I mean, he's writing to his wife, and he's basically like, hey, I know you're going to have this kid while I'm away doing work for the state. If it's a girl, you know, leave it out, of course. And if it's a male, I can't wait to see it. And so basically, like, you see that even though humans, so the light turns on in human consciousness, we separate ourselves from the animal kingdom. We start to record all of this wisdom, and we start to record history, and we start to learn things about ourselves because we gain self-awareness, right? That's the thing that separates us from all of the other animals. We're not just aware, but we're aware that we're aware, so we can reflect on our own actions, so we know what kind of person we actually are. This is why you can look back at all of these old texts, whether it's the Bible's Old Testament, the Hindu Upanishads, like all of these old texts, there's so much deep, great wisdom that you can live your life by, the Stoic philosophers. But understand that if that's not laid on top of a moral framework, you're going to get to a place that sucks for people to live in. And it doesn't just suck for the dispossessed, it sucks for the other people too. So remember, Rome couldn't, there was so much disease, so much sickness, they just could not band together and keep their population growing. Also, pandemics kept like ripping through and taking out huge percentages of their population. Now, because they had no morality, and because that was an unheard of idea for the Roman Empire, when these pandemics would come through, it would wipe out huge percentages of the population. And they had no way to band together, so as it would happen, they would leave people outside just to die. Like, it turned into this kind of mayhem, every man for himself. And I've seen the Daily Stoic. They actually posted a thing about how well Marcus Aurelius handled the pandemic. Understand that he didn't. He died with his own personal dignity because he had a good, wise way of conceptualizing life and seeing where he felt within the order of the cosmos, let's say, or what he considered to be the whole of nature. He understood that well. But he died on the absolute wrong side of history because, absence of morality, he had no way to band together with his fellow man and to actually deal with the pandemic as it hit. So what happened is the pandemic actually that hit when Marcus Aurelius was in charge of the Roman Empire took out 25% of the empire. And so as this happens, because Christians were united in their morality, they felt it their duty to take care of each other. So they started nursing each other. Instead of leaving each other outside to die in the woods or to die in the streets, they were like, well, if you're going to die, I'm here with you. I'm in this experience with you. We're going to get through this together or we're not. Now, this is a radical idea. Like I said, remember, Romans are dying a lot. Well, because they started nursing each other, the people that followed the way, they ended up getting the disease really early. The ones that survived ended up building immunity to it. Now, also, even outside of having any kind of vaccine or medication or way to deal with the disease, just nursing people, just taking care of them, increase the survival rate by a significant percentage. And look, we know that's true now. I mentioned in my Instagram TV video that I did on Saturday that there's these studies of blue zones, and they basically look at who's living the longest in the world today, and then what are the commonalities? And so there's some commonalities in diet and lifestyle. But one of the main commonalities that they found was actually their connection to other humans. Societies that weren't connected to other humans, that were disconnected, started to see an actual drop-off in life expectancy. And so there's like real tangible benefits to understanding morality and understanding what connects us that's deeper than what divides us. And so as this pandemic comes through, it kills 25% of the Roman Empire. But then you have to understand the people that were left, well, they were a higher percentage of people that followed the way. And so if you want to understand why Western culture has been built on the idea of Christianity and why this movement became the dominant religious movement over the better part of 2,000 years in world history, the reason is because it started out recognizing human dignity, and that gave humans a leg up on the adversity that was constantly wiping us out. In Rome, it was not unlikely for entire cities to be wiped out by this thing or that thing and then to have to completely rebuild. Then at the same time, look, you need two parts of the population in order to grow. And so if you dispossess and kill women, there were horrific acts of birth control that were being... Most women, actually, they had these abortions, and most women would just die because the abortion was so horrific. And so women are dying, and then they're seeing these people that are following the way that start recognizing the actual sanctity of human life, and they start treating women like people. And so then women start converting in mass numbers, and then all their husbands end up converting later on. And so that's how this thing becomes really dominant. You know, the first person that in the story of the gospel, when Jesus comes back to life and he reveals himself, beyond the actual story, I don't care if you can accept the religious connotations of this, because that's not what this podcast is about. But the first person he revealed himself to was Mary Magdalene, who is this hooker, right? So this girl who is dispossessed, whose society is cast out, you couldn't be less of a human, is the person that Jesus decides to reveal the biggest news of all time to. So you have to understand the actual heretical implications of telling this story in a way that actually recognizes the dignity of humanity, because that's the thing that sets the stage for all of us to come together. You know, I watch a lot of arguments for Richard Dawkins and Sam Harris and other atheists that want to kind of pull religion apart from the rest of the life. They think we need to dispense with religion and just continue. Now, I can sympathize with that because I understand how much destruction that religion has actually been in charge of. And one of the things that Sam Harris posits in his book is that we have a human moral framework that can be separate from our religion. And I think that that's fair. I think we might be able to do it. I don't really know. I think that the actual intellectual talking points are pretty good. But I would also say this. Before this guy named Jesus, we didn't. So understand that. We had thousands of years of recorded history. We gained tons of wisdom in that time, including the Stoic philosophers. But understand that would be absolutely terrible to live then for all parties involved, simply for the fact that there was no notion of human dignity. And if there was, it was only for a certain percent of the population. And then everybody that wasn't that could shut up, they could listen, they could be present, but as soon as they opened their mouth in opposition, they were killed. So understanding this story for a couple things has really just given me, it's really given me pause to just think about how radical the idea of human dignity is and how it can really be used to band us together against what would wipe us out. And I can understand that the world has this really deep desire to separate itself from the religion that we were kind of founded on. And fair enough, like I said, I think those talking points are intellectually and reasonably sound. But what I would say, or what I would posit, is don't be so sure that humans have this deep morality that everybody expects and is intrinsic. I don't think that's the case at all. And in fact, for thousands of years of recorded history, that was not the case. Now, understand this. Once these people that followed the way, once it became a religion, it then became susceptible again to dominance hierarchies and to people that were looking to leverage things. And this idea that there was a superior human race, understand that this was still extremely popular in modern culture and popular culture up through the 1920s, including in America. That's why when Hitler started talking like an asshole the way that he did, nobody batted an eye. You have to understand, like, how did this happen? How did World War II happen? Well, because it was an actually accepted idea that there is a dominant race and that is okay. And then Hitler brings that to its brutal, ugly end, and we see where that road goes. And then we backtrack. That's why it's important to read history. Only about 2,000 years ago did we get the injection of a moral framework. And understand that what's deeper than that DNA is the dominance hierarchy. If we don't make a real effort to recognize where that dominance hierarchy shows up in ourselves, then we're going to continue to perpetuate the system that's led to the revolution that we're in the midst of right now. And that's why it will continue. That's why history like recycles, right? Because we don't read it correctly. We don't take the right lessons. We rely on our innate humanity. And there's all these blind spots in our psychology, namely the way that we treat other people. And again, you don't have to look far for this idea. The idea of power and dominance, it is everywhere. You could look to the politicians as the exact thing that you don't want to be in this life. The reason is because everything that they do is about gaining leverage. It's about gaining power. All of this dominance hierarchy, all of the power leveraged by politicians, all of the power leveraged by the system right now that has this sort of seed of injustice and inequality, it hinges on the fact that people are scared to stand up. And so when you read the Stoic philosophers, specifically Marcus Aurelius, understand there's great wisdom in that. And also understand that there is nobody that you would rather not be than that guy in his empire. Because when the pandemic came through, it wiped out 25% of his population. He died holding on to his virtues. And then 100 years later, because the power couldn't be taken away from these people that just had nothing to lose because they had nothing to gain, that religion ends up becoming the dominant religion in the Roman Empire in about the 3rd century. So it's a really crazy story of human dignity and morality and what happens when that's not present. It's not a pretty picture. I think we're seeing some of the ramifications of that. But we have an opportunity now to read history correctly, to align ourselves with the side that ultimately wins, right? That's the thing to understand. Love always wins. And I can't even explain how. But if you're ever in a moment where love hasn't won, you're just in a moment that hasn't played itself out yet. I say this kind of all the time, but if you were born in like 1935 Germany, you would be pretty sure that the world had gone to shit and that morality was nowhere to be found. But understand that if you can zoom out and you can watch the whole thing, love always wins. the highest good as measured by equality of all human beings, it's always the thing that ends up prevailing. That's why Martin Luther King can be killed and the movement gains its biggest jump in history. And so all throughout history, you see these people that are willing to die for this radical idea of human dignity. And in doing so, because they have nothing to gain, it's not about power. It's just about equality. Because there's nothing to gain here, there's nothing to be taken. And for that reason, the movement always wins. And as people that read history, as people that are participating in history right now, we have an opportunity to do the homework, to think critically about ourselves, to think critically about our flaws, and ultimately to align ourselves with the side of human history that prevails. That is the radical notion that is held inside of the idea that you and I are equal. I love you. I hope you have an amazing week, and we'll talk later on Morning Coffee.